Good morning, everyone. On Facebook, you see all kinds of notices and on upcoming events, little memes that pop up. And this one that was spotted about today says, "Brace yourselves, sermons attempting to explain the mystery of the Trinity are coming." Well, it's here. Today we celebrate a special day in the life of the church. It is indeed Trinity Sunday. The topic many pastors, as I've said in past years, try to avoid. I think I've shared before the last parish that I was at St. John's down in Naples, and I was the associate rector, and the rector then, every year, started his vacation on this Sunday, and left me to take care of it. But simply because none of us, no matter how bright we might think we are, can truly grasp the explanation of the mystery that we call the Trinity. The simple reality is that it is impossible to try to condense the vastness of God into the something as finite as the human mind. But it is indeed that vastness of God that is unique. The word Trinity is not even mentioned in the Bible, but the uniqueness of God being present as one in three persons is. We can try to look at it in one way, and that is our own makeup. We are made up of body, spirit, soul. If we go back to the very beginning in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness." That does not make us God, but it does make us unique from all other creatures that God has created. Now notice that what God said, "Let us in our," that is the first hint of God in three persons. As I heard it put one time, it is the essence of perfect relationship. The three are working together in perfect union. The human race, in the beginning, also had that uniqueness of relationship with God. It is only through sin, that is, rebellion against God, that broke that relationship. When Adam and Eve gave in to temptation, that is, to deny what God had told them, they chose another course to go. They literally cut God out of the picture. They broke the relationship and said, "I can do this on my own." Thus, the human race, uniquely created, has inherited the separation. Imagine knowing everything you need to know about God. Imagine living in the presence of perfect truth. Imagine having something so wonderful. But through free will of the flesh, you turn your back on that truth. At that point, mankind was no longer children of God, as we know it, but inheritors of sin nature. However, and this is a big however, God, through the centuries, was paving a way. And when God himself stepped down out of heaven, when he took our sins upon that cross, when he rose again, and he did something. John spells it out perfectly. "But to all who did receive him," that is Christ, "who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Through Christ, we are grafted back in to the unique relationship with God. How does he do that? Well, let's look at our scripture today. In our gospel reading today, Jesus said these words, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." Here again, we are confronted with this huge five-letter word, truth. Here is the reading. Jesus is still giving his final instructions to his disciples, and he wants them to understand that certain things are about to happen, and they will not at first understand it all. Their faith will be stretched like never before. People will try to sway them from the truth and as it is revealed to them. Now think about it. God has finally taken care of the atonement and the excuse me, that would be required. He has finally brought a way back to the Father, a broken relationship that now can be restored, and it now rests first in the hands of these disciples. Jesus knew how vulnerable the very first man and woman were, swayed from the truth. Being fully human, he also knew what temptation was like. And just prior to our reading today, Jesus tells his disciples that he will send a helper, the counselor, the Holy Spirit. And we covered that last week. In our reading today, Jesus clarifies what the Holy Spirit will do. He said he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that I will take what is mine and declare it to you. We have heard Jesus say many times that he and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. We now see Jesus passing all that he has from the Father to the disciples through the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Spirit of Truth, and they in turn will be passing it on to others as they share Christ and they receive the Holy Spirit into their lives. Here we see a glimpse of the mystery of the Trinity. God, who is one in three persons, is carrying out his purpose to the world that we might know the truth and the truth set us free. What is this truth that is passed on through the Spirit? What are we being set free of? It is truth about a relationship with the one and only living God that has been broken since the fall. It is truth about our relationship with one another as we take on the character of Christ through the Spirit. It is truth about conviction of sin that separates us from the love of the Father in our relationships with one another. God has given the human race an opportunity to really know God to the fullest, an opportunity to be reunited in that unique relationship, an opportunity to experience a love relationship with God that is beyond our sinful nature. And he does all of this in a special way. Jesus summed it up best in his summation of the law that is centered on the word love. That is, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. We literally become transformed through that love. Paul said in our reading today, God's love has been poured into our hearts through Holy Spirit. Through our receiving Christ into our lives, everything that is within us is centered in that love relationship with God. That, in turn, flows over into our relationship with one another and fulfilled in the second commandment that Jesus revealed, to love your neighbor as yourself. The love of Christ in our relationship with him becomes the foundation of all other relationships, our marriage, our job, with our children, in our ministry, in our interaction with the world around us. You just can't take off your relationship with Christ hat, go out into the world and put on your relationship with the world hat. It just doesn't work that way. You are an ambassador of Christ wherever you are and whatever you are doing. He is with you by his Spirit every minute of every day if you let him. But here's a fact. When we go out there, we will be faced with all kinds of worldviews. But remember what Jesus said. When the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He did come, and he is still here. He still reveals truth to us. Truth in knowing the way of eternal life. Truth in knowing and experiencing the reality of who God is. Truth in knowing he will speak through us in glorifying who he is. Truth in knowing that even though persecution and ridicule are all around us, through Holy Spirit, we will keep us from stumbling. Jesus told his disciples that all that belongs to the Father is his, and all that is his is passed on to them. And it then continues, and the church grows and continues to pass it on. Because you see, the Spirit is still working, and he will continue to work until Christ comes. Over the years, I have heard that God is moving in the hearts of people, some of the most remote places where he has been suppressed. Underground churches are growing by leaps and bounds in places like China and parts of Africa. That's probably why we see so much in the news about the opposition. Christianity is even growing now in the Western countries, but the biggest drawback to its growth in the West is this, according to most surveys. People have no problem believing in God the Father. They have no problem with God the Son. They have no problem in even believing in angels. But many have a problem with Satan and the demonic forces that are out there. They say that evil is just only a state of mind, which is true, but not exclusive. But what is troubling is that many don't see a connection to God, the Holy Spirit. Many view the Holy Spirit only as a symbol of who God is. My brief answer to those who have trouble with evil and with who the Holy Spirit is this. If Satan is not real, who brought on the first temptation? Whose head did God say he was going to crush? Who tempted Jesus in the wilderness? Satan certainly is not omnipotent, but by all biblical accounts, he is real. And if the Holy Spirit isn't real, why did Jesus tell his disciples to wait for him? By whose power did they do what he did, what they did? By whose power do we do what we do? There was a pastoral issue some of us went through this past week, and I've got to tell you, things happened that I cannot explain happened except that we prayed and the Holy Spirit worked, opened doors, allowed things to happen, and it happened. The only way interaction with God occurs is through the Spirit. I think now more than ever, we need to be on guard. Now more than ever, we need to seek God with all of our heart. Now more than ever, we need to hold each other up. There is so much God wants to and desires to do through us here and now, just as he did through the early church. Nothing's changed, folks. We enjoy so many freedoms given to us in this country to do so much for the Lord. But if we're not careful, those freedoms could be snatched right out from under us. And I'm not speaking of political issues. I'm speaking of the very real spiritual issues. So we need to pray. We need to listen. We need to obey and follow him. We have a wonderful God who mysteriously consists of three persons: the Father, the source of all things and all truth; the Son, the very embodiment of God, our reconnection to God, who has revealed the truth to us in person; Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Advocate, who is always with us if we allow him; our source of power in ministry, who continues to guide us into all truth revealed to us. He is not a symbol of God, but co-equal of who God is. And as we celebrate this wonderful mystery, let us remember we who call him Lord are set apart for a special purpose. No one said it would be easy out there, but it will be a road, if we are willing, that is rich with blessing and assurance that God is with us through that road. That God the Father, by way of Jesus Christ and through the life-giving presence of Holy Spirit, we can stand fast on the truth he has revealed to us and continues to give us as we walk out our lives with him. May we always be aware that Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, is with us always. Let him use you in ways that you've never thought possible. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the uniqueness of who you are. That even though we cannot explain it, Lord, you are there with us by your Spirit. You have given us your Spirit to carry out the call that you have in each of our lives. So, Father, again, I ask that you anoint each person here with your Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would move mightily through our hearts and through our minds. Help us, rejuvenate us. Give us clarity of mind in the things that your truth that you want us to do and to walk in. And I thank you, Father, for all that you are doing in the body of Christ, the things, the doors that you are opening, the things that are happening in people's lives. And I give you praise. I give you thanks for all that you will continue to do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.